Hello and welcome to Acid Alkaline Balance and how to choose your foods wisely. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I'm excited to be here to bring you this information that could have a major impact on how you feel. But before we begin, I want to make sure that you understand that the information in the presentation isn't intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare practitioner. It's not intended as medical advice. It's intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from my research and my clinical experience and the experts, you know, who I've consulted with. So I encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based on your own research, and you can use my input as part of that as well. That's why I'm sharing this, and also in partnership with a qualified health practitioner, if indeed you are under the care of one for a diagnosed medical condition or you're on any kind of medication. So let's begin. Let's start with talking about what we're going to cover in this presentation. So acid alkaline balance is all about pH, the pH of your blood and your body tissues. And we're going to define for you what that really means, what the pH scale is and how it's measured and how that affects you. We're going to talk about what your blood pH is normally and your body's mechanisms for maintaining that. We're going to talk about measuring your pH, how you can actually do it at home. We're going to talk about the dangers of excess acidity. What does that actually cause in your body? Why is it so dangerous? And what causes the excess acidity? So you can learn how you can control it. Then we'll talk about the importance of an alkaline-forming diet. And I'll share with you an alkaline acid food chart that you can use and reference as you start to move towards a more alkaline diet. So let's talk about pH. pH is a measure of the acidity or alkalinity. Right in the middle of the chart is 7, which is neutral. And neutral means that the concentration of hydrogen ions compared to distilled water. So distilled water would have a pH of 0. And then as you go up the scale towards alkalinity, you have a tenth as much, a hundredth as much, and all the way up to 10 millionth as much. And the same thing going the other direction. And notice that each time we move up one point on the pH scale, we go up by 10 times the amount of hydrogen ions. And that is extremely important to understand that one point change in your pH is huge. It's exponential. So on the right-hand side of the chart, we show some of the liquids that you can actually stick a pH paper in and measure and where they fall. So battery acid falls at 0, which is the most acidic. And up at the top at 14 is liquid drain cleaner and caustic soda. Right below that are bleaches and oven cleaners, and ammonia falls in at 11. And you can see all the other kinds of acids, like hydrochloric acid is at 1. Lemon juice is at 2, so it's very acidic. Grapefruit and orange juice are at 3, as well as soft drinks. Tomato juice, 4. Acid rain and black coffee, 5. Urine and milk tend to fall in at 6. And pure water is 7. So what we're looking at is how different liquids measure going into your body. But what we're going to be looking at later is how, what the ash is after that food is used up in your body. So you'd see that lemon juice is way down here at a 3. It's very acidic going in, but when it actually is in your body, it actually produces a lot of alkalinity. Okay, so let's go. So our blood maintains its pH between 7.35 and 7.45. That's your normal range. It has to stay in that range or you get very ill. If you go down to 7.2, you're in a state of what's called acidosis, where there's a lot of tissue damage happening. And when you get up down to 7.0, you're at death. And that's still neutral, but you can die. And the same thing happens in the other direction, too, if you get too alkaline. So your body maintains this at all costs. You would not find people who are walking around in normal life and measure their blood pH and find them anything but 3.7 7.35 to 7.45. But if you were going to the hospital and you're looking at people who are dying, you might be seeing some very different numbers there. So you can actually measure your own pH, and you can get an indicator of how your body's doing. And the way that you measure that is using your saliva or your urine. Now, with the saliva, the range is generally 6.8 to 7.2. And you can take your first morning saliva, which gives you an idea of how you are after going through a night of detox. And then you can take it during the day. And you can also challenge yourself. You can drink some lemon juice, which brings the pH way down. And then you can watch how your body rebounds to that, how it reacts. And that gives you an assessment of how your alkaline mineral reserves are, what your stress levels are, and a whole bunch of other things. So it's an interesting test. Your first morning urine is usually measured, and the where that usually falls and healthfully falls is somewhere between 6.5 and 7. And anywhere in that range is good. And the pH of the urine will be a little bit more acidic than your blood, because your body's trying to filter and get rid of the things that would bring the blood into a more acidic range. So overnight is when you're neutralizing. So one thing you can do is take your first morning urine and then take your second morning urine and compare. And if your first morning urine is more acidic, but your second morning urine rebounds back up, that says that whatever's going on is more of a short-term thing, maybe related to the meal you had the night before, or a fight you had with your wife or husband the night before, or whatever. You can also measure it later in the day to see how well you maintain it throughout the day. So why are we even talking about this? What are the dangers of excess acidity? Well, obviously, we know that if we take in and expose ourselves to too much acid-forming substance, then that's going to threaten our blood pH. But our blood pH is maintained at all costs. So what happens to maintain that is your body goes out and finds pools of alkalinity in your body. Minerals are generally really good bets. And it can also produce ammonia to deal with the acidity as well. But minerals are a good place for it to go if you have reserves. And most people have this ready reserve, which is their bone, their skeletal system. So some of the things that can result from this attempt to restore balance in the body due to excess acidity is you can get dysfunction of your immune system, which makes you more susceptible to infections and more susceptible to cancer. Cancer cells grow beautifully in an acid environment. They don't grow well in an alkaline environment. You're going to be more susceptible to fatigue and illness of all sorts, including joint pains, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune disease. You're also going to have problems with digestion and your ability to absorb minerals and other nutrients through your digestive tract. Weakened bones, osteoporosis, tendency towards fractures, those things can all result, as well as lowered energy production in your cells, because the excess acidity damages and slows down your mitochondria, which are the little organelles in your cells that produce energy for you. It'll also impair your ability to repair the damage that happens to cells, which we have to be on guard to be doing all the time. It doesn't work real well in an acidic environment. It also decreases heavy metal detoxification and impairs the liver's ability to detoxify in general. So you could see that it's pretty serious to have too much acidity in your body. So what causes it? Oh, there's lots of factors. There's your diet. There's all sorts of things in your diet. Meats and breads and grains tend to be more acid-forming. A lot of the nuts tend to be a little bit more acid-forming. Most of the seeds tend to be more alkaline-forming. So if you're using nuts and seeds as a source of good nutrition, what you want to do is make sure that you're looking at the charts and not going excess on the more acid-forming ones. Vegetables, very alkalizing versus sugars and soft drinks and caffeine and are all acid-forming. Lots of medications are acid-forming in your body, over-the-counters and prescriptions, as well as the chemicals and preservatives in your food and water. As we learned in the Everyday Detox presentation, There's a plethora of chemicals and preservatives we're exposed to all the time. Some of them we can control and some of them we just can't because it's in our environment or our home was built using non-natural materials. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it unless you're in a position where you can retire and go hang out at the top of a tall mountain in the Himalayas. Stress is huge, and stress is something you can control. You can't control the circumstances, but you can control how you react. And when you react in certain ways to stress that cause you to get stressed, what we call stressed, and go into a state where adrenaline and cortisol are rampant, you better believe it's going to cause a bunch of acidity. If you exercise too much, it can cause acidity. Right? When you exercise, you want to be exercising at a pace that your body can recover from. And you want to be providing yourself with a lot of really, truly alkalizing foods after. So you don't want to, so most people are not at the risk of too much. We're talking like the ultra marathoners and all that are constantly going. They really have to be careful about their diets to make sure that they're balancing all that extra acidity. And then not enough sleep will make you very acid. Try it sometime. Get some pH paper. Measure your pH for a week on your normal bedtime. And then the next week, deliberately go and not sleep. Sleep less. Just sleep like an hour less each night and see. Sleep more and see how it affects your pH. You might actually be able to find the exact right amount of sleep for you by measuring your pH in the morning, assuming other things you're taking care of, like the diet. So why is an alkaline diet so important? Well, we talked about all the dangers of acidity. So if nothing else, it's just to prevent all those dangers. We want to be able to optimize our immune system. We want to build strong bones and teeth. You want to have efficient digestion and utilization of nutrients so that you have plenty of energy and good bodily function. You want to have good joint health, and alkalinity helps towards that, as well as decreased pain and inflammation. Inflammation occurs in an acid environment, and when you alkalize, it becomes you lose the inflammation. I had one patient came to see me many, many years ago, probably 10 years ago, maybe even more by now, and one of her complaints was knee pain. She had this knee pain for 15 years. And she was overweight and she had some bad diet habits. And we talked and I said, first thing I want you to do is just focus on this acid alkaline chart and just eat all your foods from maybe 80%, 90%. I think I told her 90% from the alkaline side of the chart. She left me a voicemail about 4 days later and said, could this have worked so quickly? I can't believe it. My joint pain in my knees is gone. I've just been doing this for 4 days. So she was sold, and it can make a huge difference. Try it. You measure your pH, you follow the chart, and you just, you know, take care of the stress and those sorts of things, and you'll be surprised at how quickly things can change. So, you know, and of course, we all want increased energy. We all want to be safeguarded from disease. And focusing on having an alkaline diet and creating an alkaline residue in your tissues is going to go a long way towards getting you these things that you want. So let's just look at a summary of the pH of some of the common foods that we eat. And this is a summary. I'll show you the detailed chart in a second. And you have in your materials, you have a detailed chart that you can print out. And I recommend that you do print it out and print out several copies. So on the alkaline-forming side, most of our green vegetables, there are a couple of exceptions like spinach and chard because they have a lot of oxalic acid, which makes them more acid-forming. Most vegetables, exception, there's zucchinis in a mild acid-forming category. Carrots are in a moderate acid-forming category. Most of your fruits are in the alkaline-forming side. There are some notable exceptions. For example, plums and prunes and tomatoes, pomegranates, and cranberries are in the low acid-forming side. Most seeds, and I think the only ones that were not are poppy seeds, and the oils of the seeds would tend to be slightly acid. Most of the oils are. The only exception on oils is olive oil and coconut oil, which are more alkaline-forming. And as far as nuts, almonds and cashews are on the acid side, but most of the rest of the nuts are on the alkaline side, but the most of the rest of the nuts are on the acid side. So almonds and cashews, that would be good ones to eat when you're trying to become alkaline. But there's differences in charts, so you know, you'd have to just see and measure your own pH to be sure. Lentils, some charts show them on the very far side, the very alkaline side of the chart, whereas other charts show them on the slightly acidic. Most of the places I've looked, the people that I trust have put them on the alkaline side, so that's one of the legumes. All the other legumes are going to be acid-forming. Quinoa, wild rice, and oats tend to be more alkalizing, whereas all the rest of the grains, wheat, rye, barley, corn, they're all on the other side of the fence. Soy is on the acid-forming. It's not to say that you can never eat the foods that are on the acid-forming side. It's just to say that you have to do it in balance, in balance. And when you've got a pH that is out of whack and you want to get it back in place, you want to be more strict. So going like 85 to 90% of the foods being on the alkaline side, and even 100% for a short period of time as a cleanse, that's going to give you an edge. Right. So just a couple more foods. Apple cider vinegar and ume vinegar, those tend to be on the alkaline side, whereas other vinegars like wine vinegar and white vinegar, distilled vinegar, and balsamic vinegar tend to be more acid-forming. And finally, sweeteners are all on the acid-forming side, with the exception of stevia, which falls on the alkaline side, and I think brown rice syrup might fall there as well. So this gives you a general idea. What does it come down to? We want you to be eating a lot more fruits and vegetables, whole fresh seeds, omega-3 rich seeds, a little bit of nuts, a little bit of olive oil and coconut oil, you know, and just foods from the alkaline forming side, very nutrient dense, and avoid as much as possible the foods on the acid forming side. Certainly avoid any foods that you have an allergy to, because that will create acidity and inflammation instantly in your body. But also staying away from foods that are generally known to be allergens until you've proven them otherwise. And the other things on the acid-forming side, meat, fish, dairy, eggs, most oils, most legumes and grains, table salt, whereas sea salt falls out on the alkaline side, coffee and tea and chocolate, any caffeinated beverages and substances. Some of the vegetables, like we said, spinach, chard, and carrots. Some of the fruits, like plum, prune, pomegranate, and cranberry, are all on the acid side. So I would recommend that you do yourself a favor and decide that you're going to do some length of time on a 90 to 100% alkaline diet. Do it. That's a cleanse. You just eat whatever you want as long as it's on 90% of it's from the alkaline-forming side. You can get really clean that way. And if you do this periodically, because we all know that slipping off the wagon is something that happens, then you can keep your body clean and happy. So this is the chart. You can't read it, obviously, here, but this chart is actually in your notes. You've got it. You can download it. And you can, like I said, print a few copies out. Carry one with you. Put one by your desk. Put one by the refrigerator. Put one in your car. And that way, when you're making choices, you can make a good choice. You can. If you know that, you know, you're eating black beans, for example, you would want to eat black beans, not with carrots and zucchini and spinach, because those are on the acidic side. Because the black beans are on the acidic side, you want to choose foods that are more on the alkaline side. So it's quite interesting. After a while, you just know where everything falls. You just don't have to look it up. There's very few things I really have to look up anymore, because I've been looking at this for so long. And it becomes second nature. And if you want to measure in your notes, I also gave you this chart, and you can monitor and you can keep track your first morning saliva, your first morning urine, and your second morning urine, and just keep some notes, and you can bring those to the calls and we can discuss what's going on with you and your pH. So wrap up, follow up, exactly what I'd like you to do is to plan to balance your pH. Come up with a plan. Print the food chart or several copies and make sure one is at least pinned to the refrigerator so that you can take a glance as you're pulling food out and see what might be a good combination to get you more on the alkaline side. You can purchase the Phihydron paper. I call it Phihydron paper. You can go to a local pharmacy, or there's a zillion places online where you can get it. It's inexpensive. It's under $10. and you can begin to track your AMPH. You can also experiment and track your pH after you've just had an argument or gotten all stressed out, and just give yourself some information, collect some data. And then in general, for maintenance, 75 to 80% of your food from the alkaline side of the chart. It'll vary from person to person. Some people need a little bit more of the acid-forming foods to keep them in balance from getting too alkaline. It's a lot to do with your genetics and your nature. But it's just something we want to strive for. And you'll see amazing results, especially if you are dealing with chronic pain. So that's it. And thank you for being here. And go and take action. Don't just let this information be some nice stuff that you watch and it makes sense and you're nodding your head. Take action. It's really important to take action and work towards this. Get yourself pH paper. I'm going to give you that as a suggestion for this week. Go out and buy some pH paper and start tracking your pH and start doing things to bring it into the range that you would like.